Act 4, Louise Studio. The easel is pushed back to the wall. Cardinal Death, holding his scythe and hourglass like a scepter and globe, sits on the throne. On the hat stand hang the hats of Sir Patrick and Sir Ralph. Walpole, just come in, is hanging up his beside them. He opens the door and finds Ridgeon there.
Hello, Ridgeon.
What's the matter? Have you been sent for, too?
We've all been sent for. I've only just come. I haven't seen him yet. The charwoman says that old Paddy Cullen has been here with Bonington for the last half hour.
Sir Patrick, with bad news in his face, enters from the inner room.
Well, what's up?
Go in and see. BB is in there with him.
Walpole goes. Ridgeon is about to follow him, but Sir Patrick stops him with a look.
What has happened?
Do you remember Jane Marsh's arm?
Is that what's happened?
That's what happened. His lung is gone like Jane's arm. I never saw such a case. He has got through 3 months' galloping consumption in 3 days.
Bonington got in on the negative phase.
Negative or positive, the lad's done for. He won't last out the afternoon. He'll go suddenly. I've often seen him.
So long as he goes before his wife finds him out, I don't care. I fully expected this.
It's a little hard on a lad to be killed because his wife has too high an opinion of him. Fortunately, few of us are in any danger of that.
Sir Ralph Bonington comes from the inner room and hastens between them, humanely concerned, but professionally elate and communicative.
Ah, here you are, Ridgeon. Paddy's told you, of course.
Yes.
You know, Collie, by Jupiter, if I didn't know as a matter of scientific facts that I'd been stimulating the phagocytes, I should say I'd been stimulating the other things. What is the explanation of it, Sir Patrick? How do you account for it, Ridgeon? Have we overstimulated the phagocytes? Have they not only eaten up the bacilli, but attacked and destroyed the red corpuscles as well? A possibility suggested by the patient's pallor. Nay, have they finally begun to prey on the lungs themselves, or on one another? I shall write a paper about this case.
Walpole comes back, very serious, even shocked. He comes between Sir Ralph and Ridgeon.
Whew. Bonington, you've done it this time.
What do you mean?
Killed him. The worst case of neglected blood poisoning I ever saw. It's too late now to do anything. He'd die under the anesthetic.
Killed? Really, Walpole? If your monomania were not well known, I should take such an expression very seriously.
Come, come. When you've both killed as many people as I have in my time, you'll feel humble enough about it. Come and look at him, Collie.
Ridgeon and Sir Patrick go into the inner room.
I apologize, Bonington, but it's blood poisoning.
My dear Walpole, everything is blood poisoning. But upon my soul, I shall not use any of that stuff of Ridgeon's again. What made me so sensitive about what you said just now is that, strictly between ourselves, Ridgeon cooked our young friend's goose.
Jennifer, worried and distressed, but always gentle, comes between them from the inner room. She wears a nurse's apron.
Sir Ralph, what am I to do? That man who insisted on seeing me and sent in word that business was important to Louis is a newspaper man. A paragraph appeared in the paper this morning saying that Louis is seriously ill, and this man wants to interview him about it. How can people be so brutally callous?
You just leave me to deal with him.
But Louis insists on seeing him. He almost began to cry about it. And he says he can't bear his room any longer. He says he wants to die in his studio. Sir Patrick says let him have his way. It can do no harm. What shall we do?
Why, follow Sir Patrick's excellent advice, of course. As he says, it can do him no harm. And it will no doubt do him good. A great deal of good. He will be much the better for it.
Will you bring the man up here, Mr. Walpole, and tell him that he may see Louis, but that he mustn't exhaust him by talking?
Walpole nods and goes out by the outer door.
Sir Ralph, don't be angry with me, but Louis will die if he stays here. I must take him to Cornwall. He will recover there.
Cornwall! The very place for him! Wonderful for the lungs. Stupid of me not to think of it before. You are his best physician after all, dear lady. An inspiration! Ha! Cornwall, of course! Yes, yes, yes!
You are so kind, Sir Ralph. Please don't give me much or I shall cry, and Louis can't bear that.
Then let us come back to him and help to carry him. Cornwall, of course, the very thing!
Bonington and Jennifer go together into the bedroom. Walpole returns with the newspaper man, a cheerful, affable young man who is disabled for ordinary business pursuits by a congenital erroneousness, which renders him incapable of describing accurately anything he sees, or understanding or reporting accurately anything he hears. As the only employment in which these defects do not matter is journalism, for a newspaper not having to act on its description and reports, but only to sell them to idly curious people, has nothing but honor to lose by inaccuracy and unveracity. He has perforce become a journalist, and has to keep up an air of high spirits through a daily struggle with his own illiteracy and the precariousness of his employment. He has a notebook and occasionally attempts to make a note, but as he cannot write shorthand and does not write with ease in any hand, he generally gives it up as a bad job before he succeeds in finishing a sentence.
This is the studio, I suppose?
Yes.
Where he has his models, eh?
No doubt.
Cubicle, you said it was?
Yes, tubicle.
Which way do you spell it? Is it C-U-B-I-C-A-L or C-L-E?
Tubercle, man, not cubicle. T-U-B-E-R-C-L-E.
Ah, tubercle. Some disease, I suppose. I thought he had consumption. Are you one of the family or the doctor?
I'm neither one nor the other. I am Mr. Cutler Walpole. Put that down. Then put down Sir Colenso Ridgeon.
Pigeon.
Ridgeon. Here. You'd better let me write the names down for you. You're sure to get them wrong. That comes of belonging to an illiterate profession with no qualifications and no public register.
Walpole writes the particulars.
You've got your knife into us, haven't you?
I wish I had. I'd make a better man of you. Now attend. These are the names of the three doctors. This is the patient. This is the address. This is the name of the disease.
Walpole shuts the book with a snap, which makes the journalist blink, and returns it to him.
Mr. Dubedah will be brought in here presently. He wants to see you because he doesn't know how bad he is. We'll allow you to wait a few minutes to humor him, but if you talk to him, out you go. He may die at any moment.
Oh, is he as bad as that? I say, I'm in luck today. Would you mind letting me photograph you?
The newspaper man produces a camera.
Could you have a lancet or something in your hand?
Put it up. If you want my photograph, you can get it in Baker Street in any of the series of celebrities.
But they'll want to be paid, if you wouldn't mind.
I would. Put it up, I tell you. Sit down there and be quiet.
The newspaper man quickly sits down on the piano stool as Dubedah, in an invalid's chair, is wheeled in by Mrs. Dubedah and Sir Ralph. They place the chair between the dais and the sofa where the easel stood before. Louis is not changed as a robust man would be, and he is not scared. His eyes look larger, and he is so weak physically that he can hardly move, lying on his cushions with complete languor. But his mind is active. It is making the most of his condition, finding voluptuousness in languor and drama in death. They are all impressed, in spite of themselves, except Ridgeon, who is implacable. Bonington is entirely sympathetic and forgiving. Ridgeon follows the chair with a tray of milk and stimulants. Sir Patrick, who accompanies him, takes the tea table from the corner and places it behind the chair for the tray. Bonington takes the easel chair and places it for Jennifer at Dubedah's side, next to the dais, from which the mannequin ogles the dying artist.
That's happiness. To be in a studio, happiness.
Yes, dear. Sir Patrick says you may stay here as long as you like.